This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with me, Roshan, Noel, and Chuang. And right now, in half an hour, sorry, not right now, we've got the breakfast grill. And this morning, Wong Xiaoning will be speaking to Thomas Tuan, CEO of Pakai Industries.
Despite COVID or not, and for the next 2 weeks when we are under this movement control order, businesses must still go on. And so Wong Xiaoning, our colleague, she speaks to Thomas Tuan today, this morning, the CEO of Pakai Industries. Now, Pakai is one of the oldest bathroom and kitchen product companies in Malaysia. I think they started in 1969, and this company is owned by Mr. Thomas Tuan. So, you know, this industry is probably more important than ever, especially when we talk about washing our hands. And, you know, it's one of the best defenses against the coronavirus. So, you know, Xiaoning will be discussing with Thomas what this low-key company has in store for 2020 and how they plan to stay relevant.
Yes, and I mean, always something, it's fascinating how basic hygiene has become an in thing again, it's become fashionable, which is, but it's the most basic way to deal with this and to prevent it from spreading. Now, while we're talking about spreading of the coronavirus, let's take a look at containment strategies. As countries around the world are grappling with the COVID-19 outbreak, they've taken many different approaches as the global infections surpass the number of cases in China for the first time yesterday. So as of yesterday, there were a total of 168,000 cases recorded and about 6,600 deaths at that point.
That's right. So the WHO has declared Europe the epicenter of the pandemic, which originated in China. And of course, we're seeing new measures being introduced every day, if not every hour, including in our own country, Malaysia, to try and stop the spread. Some of the latest moves announced overnight are, for example, the movement control order starting from midnight tonight, I think. France imposing a nationwide lockdown starting today. The European Union closing its borders for 30 days from today to external visitors from non-EU countries. And of course, some countries in Asia have taken a head start when it comes to combating the coronavirus, COVID-19.
So what has worked so far to slow down the epidemic, and what is containment even possible at this stage? Joining us on the line to discuss this is Benjamin Cowling, professor at the School of Public Health at the University of Hong Kong. Thank you for joining us today, Ben. Can you hear us?
Yep, can you hear me?
Yes, there we go. Hi, Ben. Thank you so much for joining us on the line this morning. Yep. Now, Malaysia has imposed a movement control order, essentially only allowing businesses which are deemed an essential service to continue. Is that a containment or mitigation strategy?
I think it's a mitigation strategy. So I can talk a little bit about containment and mitigation. The idea of containment is to keep the virus out and to suppress the transmission and using every possible measure to do that. One of the key features of containment is testing. You need to do a massive amount of testing. And then for mitigation, the idea is to slow it down. Can't stop an epidemic, and you just need to slow it down to buy time and to reduce the surge. So usually countries will try containment first, and then if or when that fails, and it can't work forever, then they switch to mitigation.
So containment, mitigation, and then what next?
After mitigation, then hopefully the first wave's over, and then can relax for a while. Still need to worry about second or third waves in the future. I don't think coronavirus is going to disappear, but the big issue now, the big concern, is the first wave having a really destructive effect.
So Malaysia did have like a first wave, and then there was some complacency, and then there was this sudden surge of 300 cases over the last few days. So would you consider that we had a first wave and now we are in the second wave?
No, you know when you have a first wave, because it will be unmissable. It will be of the proportions of what's happened in Italy or some other places. And the objective now is to try and slow that down and reduce it from happening. Reduce the impact as much as possible.
Yeah, Ben, what you see in sitting as you do in Hong Kong, obviously the global cases and infections have surpassed that of China. The data suggests a flattening of the curve in China. First of all, do you believe that that data is correct and that they've contained the virus in that part of the world?
Yeah, I think China succeeded in containment by making everybody stay at home, or many, many people stay at home for about a month. And that was enough to stop transmission from occurring, because if everybody's at home, nobody can spread it. But then now, they're most likely going to face the risk of a second wave within the next few months. And I don't know whether they will shut the country down again for another month and then have a cycle of every 3 months, shut down for 1 month, every 3 months, shut down for 1 month, because that's extremely damaging to the economy.
What triggers a second wave?
Importation of infections from outside. And you can't pick up every imported infection because some of them are always going to slip through. And then they start local transmission. And then it takes time to build up. The numbers double every maybe 6 or 7 days. So you start with a few, and then there's a few more, and then there's a few more from week to week. And it probably takes 10 to 12 weeks for the numbers to build up to an epidemic after some initial small number of introductions.
Okay, so given the global nature of the pandemic today, how would you rate the containment stroke mitigation measures by other countries in the region and even in Europe and North America? And what is the worst case scenario and what is the best case scenario?
So firstly, for containment versus mitigation, I think only Hong Kong, Singapore, Taiwan, and then maybe South Korea are succeeding in containment. And it's requiring a massive amount of effort, a massive amount of testing, and a lot of community measures as well. I'm not sure if they can be sustained forever, but they're working for now. Other parts of the world are grappling with the concern that this pandemic will have a massive health impact and also a massive economic impact. And both of those are unavoidable, but there's still a choice for governments to make about whether they want to protect health to some extent with greater economic cost, or they want to at least save some part of the economy at the expense of some people's health, which is a really, really difficult choice, because if you have a sacrifice on your economy, then ultimately that's going to make everybody worse off and have long-term effects on health as well as other things. So I think some countries have gone more aggressively. I just saw the news about what the plans in Malaysia. I think that's a good idea because it's going to slow down the epidemic. It's going to reduce the surge when it comes on hospitals. I think hospitals will still be overwhelmed at some point in the next maybe month or two. The heat is helping in Malaysia. It seems like transmission's a little bit slower, but I don't think you're going to escape having an epidemic. And the issue with the social distancing measures, with the mitigation measures, is that they need to be sustained. So I heard the announcement that the mitigation measures are planned for 2 weeks. That's not going to be nearly enough. You're not even going to be reaching the peak in 2 weeks' time. The peak is probably 4, 6, or 8 weeks away. And if you slow that down with mitigation measures, it's going to be even further away. It might even be 12 weeks away. But you need to keep the measures going. Otherwise, you're going to have a surge when the measures stop. And so these kind of measures, if you really keep them going, are going to be in place for a long time. And that's why I mentioned earlier the problem for governments about how much of a effort to make, how aggressive to be, because there will be massive health impacts, but there were also going to be massive economic impacts of the pandemic.
So Malaysia right now has about 500 plus cases. We are nowhere near an epidemic yet. So what's your forecast, like based on the numbers and based on what we are doing now? I mean, how bad can it be for Malaysia?
So if you look at what happened in north of Italy, when hospitals are full up, intensive care units are full up, and they were still a few weeks away from having a peak. And that is also what happened in Wuhan, by the way. I think in Malaysia, I'd be worried that something similar will happen in maybe 1 or 2 months' time when epidemic reaches a larger scale and there's really a surge in cases. And at that point, once you see what happened in Italy, where the intensive care units are full, if you do an intervention at that point, it's too late because it won't have any effect for 2 weeks, because all the infections that occur today are not going to appear for the next 2 weeks. There's a long process of from infection until symptoms appear and then until they get worse and then to need to go to hospital. So intervening now is a brilliant idea to slow things down. But I saw the announcement that it's going to be for 2 weeks. I think the next thing is to think about how long these measures might need to be in place for, because I can't see a peak coming for at least 1 or 2 months.
Okay, so are we talking about 5,000 cases maybe in a month's time?
No. So the numbers tend to go up by about 10 every 2 weeks, by about tenfold every 2 weeks. So wouldn't surprise me if there's 5,000 in 2 weeks' time and then 50,000 in 4 weeks' time if you can do that many tests. But there's still a long way to go to a peak.
But a lot of people don't realize the prevalence of viruses in the region. I think there's at least three or four going around, including in China. Given the evolutionary nature of COVID-19, what are the risks of it evolving into something a little bit more deadly or dangerous?
This particular type of virus does not change that fast. So we're not worried that it's going to change into something nastier. We'd hope that it would change into something milder, but it's unlikely. Most likely it's going to stay pretty much the same for the next few months. Maybe by this time next year, it will change to be a little bit milder, hopefully, fingers crossed. And also, after people have had it once, they probably have immunity, or at least partial immunity. So if they get infected again, it wouldn't be serious. And that's why the first wave is what we're really worried about the most.
So what is, taking all this into consideration, Ben, what is the most effective strategy in flattening the potential epidemic curve here?
So I think what we got to look at is sustainable strategies that can be in place for 3 or 4 months from now, and that can be continued to flatten the curve as much as possible without being too socially and economically disruptive. So I understand the measures taken by Malaysia include closing some businesses and really trying to get people to stay home as much as possible. I think that's good as long as it can be sustained. I would say think about measures which are sustainable, because they'll need to be in place for 3 or 4 months.
Thank you so much for joining us on the line today, Benjamin. That was Benjamin Cowling, professor at the School of Public Health and at the University of Hong Kong, with a very insightful conversation there, I think, highlighting the potential issues that are going to come about from this.
Yeah, perhaps what is most disconcerting about his reply was the fact that China may not have seen the end of the pandemic. It might come back. I mean, we don't know. Obviously, Ben Cowling is not the messiah when it comes to these things. There's a lot of uncertainty in the market. But he would know a little bit more about it than you and me.
Yes, and we've got a Twitter poll right now. Is the movement control order necessary? Tell us why. We've got about 288 votes so far. We'll go through the results in just a little bit. Right now, we're going into a few messages. And when we come back, we'll be speaking to Azrul Khalib, CEO of the Galen Center for Health and Social Policy, for his take on the government's handling of the coronavirus outbreak. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.